IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
And welcome to another episode of All Things Policy, your favorite daily public policy podcast from the Takshashila Institution. I'm Anushka Saxena, a research analyst with the institution's Indo-Pacific Studies program. And today I'm joined by my colleague from the program, Amit Kumar. Happy to have you here, Amit.
Thank you so much, Anushka.
Right. So, you know how technology has always remained central to economic progress and sustainability across the ages. Of late, geopolitics has further amplified the salience of technology for nation states, so much so that it has become central to driving and anchoring geopolitical contestation among major powers, especially the US and China. And this feature has become more and more evident, especially in the past 5 to 7 years. And as the so-called great power rivalry intensifies, ownership and trade of technology have become increasingly securitized, with countries adopting several pathways to ensure either continued dominance or sustainability by mitigating dependencies and vulnerabilities, or attempting to look inwards and bridging the gap where they exist in some of the key technology supply chains. However, not all technologies have garnered equal attention from nation states. Rather, there's a subset of these, and they're being called by many names: critical technologies, core technologies, high technologies, big tech, so on and so forth. And these are the ones that have hogged much of the limelight. And it's not really the case that all of these sets of technologies have been defined in the same manner, but there will be some common elements to how each stakeholder across the globe looks at critical technologies. And some of these common kind of features are that they have disproportionate advantage or disruptive impact for national security and economic growth. And some of the technologies that we see are common across stakeholders are semiconductors, advanced computing, artificial intelligence, so on and so forth. And so in this episode, we're not really going to be looking at defining critical technologies or going through the lists, but we're going to be looking at one particular segment of critical technologies, which is renewable energy, and a subset of renewable energy critical technologies, which is solar photovoltaic cells. We're going to talk about why China dominates the supply chain and all of its elements in solar PVs, and what is the significance of this technology that we're referring to it as critical, and the kind of role China has played in it. So Amit, let me come to you with this. My first question is, can you talk a little bit about solar photovoltaic cells, their role in our everyday lives, and their significance? Why is it that you perceive these are critical technologies? Over to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anushka, for that wonderful introduction. So solar PV or solar photovoltaic cells is, if you look at the number of lists, number of critical technology lists that have been so far released by many of the countries, namely the US or Australia, you would find that solar PVs have made it to that list under the renewable energy as a subset of renewable energy and technologies. Right. So there seems to be a recognition that solar PVs are actually a critical technology. Now, without going through the definition as to why it would be a critical technology, I would like to list three reasons as to what could make potentially this critical tech. Right. So to begin with, energy transition. So solar PVs have become very central to the idea of energy transition. And as you're aware that the humanity is trying to take a step towards making a transition from non-renewables to renewables, as eventually at some point of time, we'll run out of these. And there's a limit to how, there's a limit as to how much we can utilize these renewable, non-renewable resources, right? So at some point of time, you have to think of energy sources that are not non-depletable, right? So in that regard, solar PVs become essential, right? As they directly rely on solar energy to produce electricity. Second would be that it is central to climate change mitigation strategy. So the fact that we have been relying on non-renewables also means that we have been generating a lot of greenhouse gases. And so far in the past century, it has accumulated to a point in our world that we are now facing the brunt of rising temperature, right? And it poses a risk to a lot of factors. So it is central to solar PVs are central to making that mitigation strategy. Third would be that it is extensively employment intensive, and this becomes a even greater significance for a country like India, because for the past many years we have been trying to job and employment generation has been a problem, and especially in the manufacturing sector. And solar PVs and the manufacturing, the supply chain comes within this manufacturing sector. And if properly utilized, it would end up generating, not only it will help India make a transition towards renewable energies, but also create a lot more employment. And India itself has announced its the aim to reach net zero emissions by 2070. And by 2030, it aims to, have electricity produced, 50% of its electricity produced by renewables. So these are some of the factors that make this technology product critical to the world and even to India.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. And I think by the continued use of fossil fuels, not only have we been, not making a serious move to renewables, but also reneging on, like you said, our climate mitigation goals, policy endeavors, and any investment in critical technology that is key to climate change mitigation would of course then be a subset of critical technologies as a whole.
Right.
Let me come to you with another question. So how extensive is the solar photovoltaic cell supply chain? What does it look like? And what are its key features? What are the roles each element of each pillar of the supply chain fulfills? And could you also bring in the China angle? Which of these sectors or pillars of the supply chain does China dominate in, and how? Over to you.
Yeah. So very briefly, I don't want to go into the specific, but for our general listeners, for the general understanding of our listeners, the manufacturing process or the supply chain, manufacturing supply chain of the solar PV panels could be broadly classified into five steps, right? The first is polysilicon, where primary material is used to, manufacture polysilicon, which are the second is ingots, wherein polysilicon crystallized, the output from polysilicon is used to make large ingots. The third is wafer cutting. These ingots are now then cut into very thin slices of thin slices called wafers. The fourth segment is cell production, wherein these wafers are then cleaned and doped to manufacture crystalline solar cells. And the last step would be module or panel making. So these cells are then assembled together and wired and then laminated. You see that lustrous face of the modules that that eventually gets deployed, right? So it's all of this is done, and then what you get is a module or a panel, and this is then further deployed on your rooftop or whatever, wherever you would like to deploy, depending upon your requirements. So this is how the solar PV manufacturing supply chain is distributed. Now, if you come to, to answer your question as to what, how dominating is China in this entire supply chain, I would say China has an oversized and overriding presence in each of the segments of the solar PV manufacturing supply chain. So the first step that requires the production of polysilicon, that is converting metallurgical grade silicon to get solar PV grade silicon. China dominates around 79% of this segment. So 79% of the production of polysilicon solar PV grade polysilicon happens in China alone. And if you look at ingots and wafer production, 96% of the world's production of wafers, ingots and wafer cutting happens in China alone. No other country, I mean, the rest of Asia Pacific, excluding India, has the other 3% share in this segment, and the rest have just 1%. So clearly, China is way ahead in this segment as well. Now, when it comes to the third segment, that is cell production, that is when you convert the wafers into cells, right? The third stage. China again has an 85% share in this segment of the supply chain. And that's massive again, right? And the Asia Pacific, if you exclude India and just account for Asia Pacific, all those countries together have a 12% share, right? Then we come to modules, the last stage of the solar PV manufacturing supply chain, right? Even here in 2021, China had about 75% of global share. But if you look at the very recent data from 2022 and 2023, China has stretched its lead in this segment to around 80%, right? So again, if you look at across the segments of the supply chain, China has an overriding and oversized influence and completely dominates the sector. Like in no segment is its share below 80%, right? Almost touching 80%. And lastly, if you look at deployment as to once these, after these modules are prepared and manufactured, when they're deployed, in terms of deployment, you also see that 36% of the world share is taken up by China alone. So 36% of all the global production goes back to China and where it is deployed. India, interestingly, has the second largest share in terms of deployment. So 7% of the global solar PV cells are deployed in India, right? And then there are other countries, Asia Pacific, which has 13%, and North America and Europe around 15% or so, 15-20%. So this is how the solar PV manufacturing global supply chain looks like at the moment. And it seems like China has an inassailable lead when it comes to this segment.
That's really interesting, Amit. And I think there could be some lessons to draw for not just India, but countries around the world as to what are the policy measures, what is the policy ecosystem, what should it look like for a country to achieve this kind of a dominance in each segment of the supply chain of a critical technology. And if I can come to you with my next question. What do you think are the reasons behind China's dominance of the critical supply chain of solar PV cells? What are the factors that have given it this invincible dominance? And what are the lessons maybe India can draw, for example, from China's policy ecosystem on solar PV supply chains? Okay.
Yeah, well, this could be a long answer because at least, and this is not an exhaustive list, but at least I think there are five primary reasons that I can see why China has been able to, you know, establish its dominance in this segment. For our listeners, I would like to tell them that before 2012, China was not as large a player, and the production of solar PV cells was largely concentrated in parts of Europe and America, Northern America, and primarily the US. But after 2012, China has gradually built up that space for itself, wherein we have come to a point wherein China completely dominates the segment, as I discussed when answering a previous question. So there are five reasons that I can broadly think of, and that the first one would be early identification and policy support. So China, as far back in 2001 itself, in its 10th five-year plan, envisioned expanding industrialization of renewable energy technologies. And within this, solar PVs were given quite a bit of significance, right? So this allowed for them to introduce central and provincial level incentives for solar PVs manufacturing. And by the 11th five-year plan, 5 years time, China identified that lack of domestic capacity to produce polysilicon was posing an obstacle to its expansion plans, right? And quickly at that point when China realized this, in back in 2005, China imported around 95% of its polysilicon requirement which went into PV manufacturing, right? That's massive, 95, almost entire requirement of China was sourced from outside, right? So, and quickly they began working on this. They began promoting domestic production of polysilicon through grants, tax breaks, low cost loans, and national funds. And it was a time, a natural question would be, do these things help? So I would like to draw your attention to the point that at that point of time, back in 2001 and 5, the countries were still opening up, right? At that point, when the countries were looking outwards, this protectionist policy might have helped China. And this allowed them to invest a lot of money in this segment. The result that we saw was that by 2007, China's dependence on polysilicon came down to 75 to 80%. And in 2012, it imposed anti-dumping duties also on polysilicon import from the US and South Korea. As a result, by 2014, its dependency came down to 40%. And today, China accounts for like 80% of the total global production. So if you look at the investment in this period, and even from 2006 to 2021, more precisely, if you look at the period from 2014 to 2021, around 70% of the global investment in the solar PV manufacturing supply chain was made by China alone. So China started well in advance. And if you look at the period between 2006 to 2013, around 50% of the global investment was made by China alone. So China started way early than other players in the market even realized the importance what the solar PVs might be playing in the future, and started investing a lot of money in this segment, and also used some of the protectionist policies to get to a point where it is today. The second reason I would say is it's China's control of the raw materials. So there are about 20 raw materials and some selected minerals that go into the manufacturing of the solar PVs, right? And out of those, barring one or two, in none of the selected minerals that go into the making of solar PVs, China's share in the production of those raw materials is below 30-35%. And it even extends to around 80% in some of these, in most of these, in fact, raw materials. So China is the biggest, not only a biggest player, the result that you see is a reflection of the fact that China is also a single largest producer of most of the raw materials that go into the making of solar PV cells.
Stay tuned to All Things Policy. We'll be right back after a short commercial break.
So Amit, if I can quickly come in here with a follow-up as you are on your second reason. So can we say that your second reason is that China is just naturally gifted and resource endowed, or is it different from producing mineral that is technology grade that can be used after refinement? So which one of the two is it?
So there are two factors to it. If you look at a country that produces most of the raw materials when it comes to mining, in the mining segment, it could be either of the two reasons. One, that it has the resource endowment, only that country possesses that raw materials. And second, that country has built up a greater comparative advantage in terms of processing and mining those elements. And in this case, it seems like that China has both. So China not only has a large chunk of these minerals and reserves that are there, but it's not that other countries do not have the reserves. There are many other countries like Chile and Peru in South America and even South Asia and Oceania that have these resources. But the fact that we are seeing that China is one of the largest producers of these raw materials is a combination of both these factors, wherein China not only has large reserves of these raw materials, but also has very good processing technologies. And this, I will have to give it to the Chinese, because initially, when it started making investments, it realized, started making the solar PVs, producing solar PVs, it realized that it did not had in that technological sophistication that akin to what was there in the West. And it allowed, it gave its domestic manufacturers subsidies to actually import that technologies. And over time, because the Chinese were doing this at a scale, they managed to get themselves in a positions where they were actually, after 10 to 12 years, their domestic producers had better processing technologies than the Americans itself or the Europeans itself, themselves.
Right. Moving on.
Yeah. So third reason, I think this is the most critical reason as to which, what has allowed China to become a dominant player in the solar PV supply chain is its reliance on coal in an extremely energy intensive manufacturing process. So solar PVs manufacturing, the production of solar PV cells is extremely energy intensive, more than any other sector within the manufacturing segment. Some estimates suggest that it consumes more than thrice the energy that one of the Nordic country in the Europe consumes, like in a year, right? So that is the extent of its energy consumption, right? And the reason why the European and American players fell out of fell off in this competition with the Chinese is that if you you would know that you must be aware that given this whole narrative around, and not just narrative, and the climate goals and stuff, the Americans and the European countries which had to commit to a more measures that would actually lead to climate mitigation and then phase out the use of coal and etc. It made them rely on resources of energy or electricity that were much more expensive. On the other hand, China had this advantage of a developing country which had a leeway and much greater room to still rely on coal. And and if you look at the stats, you would know that while the global generation, the share of coal in the global generation of electricity is only around 36%, around about 36%, when it comes to solar PVs, the share of coal in producing electricity rises up to around 70%. And this helped the Chinese, and because China is the largest producer of coal and consumer of coal, it allows them and their industries to keep the prices low, relying on coal. Of course, now there are other sources of energy that are, becoming much cheaper, but still those renewables sources of energy cannot compete with the coal because they're not available in abundance. And you still have to make a lot of investment to get that large an energy which goes into the production of solar PV cells. So I think this is one of the most critical factors that, in addition to the other two factors that I discussed, that inadvertently China's reliance on coal allowed it to have a dominance in the solar PV manufacturing.
Right. This is interesting because, the rigorous requirements that were created for developed countries to phase out commit more severely to their climate mitigation strategies as opposed to developing countries have actually led to more coal use in developing countries for the purpose of the building of renewable energy technologies. It's quite an interesting dynamic. And I guess, in a way, China has been lucky so far to be able to use some of the key international trade advantages that such countries get. Anti-dumping duties, for example, less rigorous requirements for developing countries to phase out coal earlier, and other such stuff, I'm sure. So moving on to your fourth reason.
Yeah, the fourth reason would be China usually, the fact that it was a developed country helped in many other ways, right? If you look at companies and the businesses that in advanced economies, they are much more they have a much higher level of functional specialization. When countries in developing and underdeveloped countries, if you look at those countries, you would find that the businesses are fused. Like many of the operations within supply chain is performed by a single company, or alternatively, a single company would be actually be doing all the stuff in the single supply chain, rather than having one company focusing on one segment of the supply chain alone, right? So this was an interesting differentiation that was there in between the Chinese and the European and the American counterparts.
Right. So vertical integration was a factor of Chinese companies or Chinese business model, but horizontal integration and comparative advantage was something that the Western companies followed. Is that what you're referring to?
Right. So the companies in China were largely vertically integrated. And this, again, this was not a conscious decision. It was not a conscious decision in the sense that it was not thought of in order to establish a dominance, but rather the fact that it was just easier, because when a company started in China, they were investing in one segment, and they realized that because they were dependent on other segments, they themselves started doing production in that segment of the supply chain. And this helped the Chinese in a way, because profitability is very volatile in solar PVs manufacturing segment, right? And because of that, it forced a lot of European and American competitors and the players out of competition. But because the Chinese companies were vertically integrated, what they could do is cross subsidization and make profit in one segment to compensate for the loss that happened in the other segment, right? And this allowed them to stay in competition and remain afloat, while the European and the American players lost out to the Chinese one. So this is the fourth reason. And last reason, it's largely a business ease of doing business factor thing, which is, if you look at the lead times, wherein because solar PVs have the most primary the first stage is to actually manufacture solar PV polysilicon grade. So the lead time in mining, lead time is the time period between when you identify a region or a source wherein you make an investment, and the first production when you get out of that investment. So if you look at lead times, this is the time interval between these two. These are largely shorter for in case of China when compared to its European and American competitors. And the difference was as much as around 15 years or so, right? So because it usually takes around 16 to even 17 years, and in even some case 20 years to actually start production once you have identified the mines which are suitable for mining, right? So in that case, China outcompeted its rivals in this segment, and this was a lead time that allowed them to capture market at a greater rate than their competitors could ever do.
Right. And does this massive difference in lead times have anything to do with shoddy business practices in China, more working hours and lesser benefits or something of the sort?
Yeah, more than that, environmental clearances, right? So in the past two decades, you have seen how bad it became live in China and the major cities in China. And environment really was not the primary concern, rather growth was, and which is much, much larger concern in the European and the American countries. You don't get environment clearances that easy. But that was a phase wherein, companies and businesses could get away with environment clearances on a very... suboptimal costs, right? So that also helped. But now as things get difficult, even for the Chinese to get, as environment has become one of the focus areas, right? So you see that other Asian countries and even India, except for in the polysilicon segment, India's lead time are at are either comparable or lesser than the Chinese. So yeah, it presents us presents India with an opportunity to make if substantial investments are made to grasp some share of the global manufacturing share. And the and don't forget, India also does have that same leeway to rely on coal that China did and help China.
Right. I think that was going to be my last question about what India can and cannot do. And thank you so much for answering that as well, Amit. This has been a really fascinating discussion. At least I can speak for myself that I really got to learn in deep about the nature of the solar PV supply chain, the significance of the technology, why do we and other countries refer to it as critical, and what has China's technology policy ecosystem, innovation ecosystem been like for it to be able to gather dominance in almost all of the segments of the PV supply chain. Thanks, Amit, and thank you to our listeners for tuning into another episode of All Things Policy.
Thank you so much, Anushka. Thanks for having me.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is at IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle, at Takshashila INST, or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week, Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.